Well, good morning. It feels like springtime in northeast Pennsylvania. And if you're enjoying it, I understand we should enjoy it today because tomorrow our 6 months of winter starts. I hope not. You know, as I think we've been very, very fortunate weather-wise. Amen. And today, you know, it's just a beautiful day. Sunshine. What better day to talk about what Jesus does, what his love for us. Amen. One thing I want to mention before we get started. I was going to start the Romans series in the first part of March. But we have an opportunity to do something that I think is really awesome. We got to see a little bit, just a film clip at Christmas time. One of the Christian filmmakers has put together a mini series that is going to be shown on the History Channel starting in March. Two hours every week, mini series up through Easter. And we're going to be, I guess, kind of dovetailing off of that. And during those weeks, we're basically going to be able to share from the pulpit, I hope, what people will kind of have their interest raised up to if they watch the History Channel. So it's an opportunity for each one of us to share with folks out there that we're going to be preaching about what they're going to be seeing. So I think it's going to be an awesome opportunity. So anyway, it'll be run from the first Sunday in March up through Easter. And you know what they're doing on Easter? The resurrection. Praise God. So anyway, Brother Clint and I are going to be kind of tag team preaching through that series. And I think you may be blessed by it. And just invite some of your friends to come. It's an excellent opportunity for people who haven't been in church for quite a while who maybe see it, and then they'll ask you a question. You can say, well, come this next week. My pastor's preaching on that. Amen? What an opportunity. Well, this morning we're going to be picking up here again with life lessons from Jesus' encounter with the woman at the well. And again, we're going to be looking at chapter 4 of the Gospel of John. And we'll be reading from verses 7 down through the 12th verse. And as you can tell, I've got a little bit of the nasal thing going on myself like everybody else does. So I'll try not to share it with anybody. Just don't you share it and give it back either. So anyway, starting there. And when a Samaritan woman came to draw water, Jesus said to her, "Will you give me a drink?" His disciples had gone into town to buy food. And the Samaritan woman said to him, "You're a Jew." "I'm a Samaritan woman. How do you ask me for a drink? For Jews don't associate with Samaritans." And Jesus answered, "If you knew the gift of God and who it is who asks you for a drink, you would have asked him, and he would have given you living water." "Sir," the woman said, "you have nothing to draw with, and the well's deep. Where can you get living water? Where can you get this living water? Are you greater than our father Jacob, who gave us the well and drank from it himself, as did his sons and his flocks and his herds?" Father, I just want to thank you that we can be here this morning. Thank you so much for giving us the freedom to be in a country where we can gather together to worship. Thank you most of all for the love that you have shown and you continue to demonstrate through your Son, Jesus Christ. We thank you, Father, for the most precious gift of all, the salvation that is offered through him. And Lord, I would pray this morning that if there are any who were in our first service or in this service or who are with us on the web or who will view the service later. I just pray, Father, that if they don't know Jesus, that today would be the day that as your Holy Spirit ministers to them, that today would be the day that they would ask your forgiveness, they would turn to you and receive the precious forgiveness and eternal life that your Son, Jesus Christ, offers. May they invite him into their lives today. Lord, as we look at this word that you've given, this story we call the Samaritan woman and Jesus at the well, I just pray, Father, that you would show each one of us ways in which we can show the love that your Son showed to people who come across our lives who may be very similar to the Samaritan woman. I just lift this up to you, and I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. We're going to look at smoke screens. You notice a lot of times smoke screens get thrown around. And I think the reason we throw smoke screens around is really to get us to shift our emphasis from the real issue, or maybe to hide our thoughts, or maybe to even hide our intentions. Would you agree? Is that why? I mean, most of us put up smoke screens, don't we? Probably every one of us has put up at least one this week, you think? Probably at least one. One of the things that I found interesting about smoke screens, normally when we think of smoke screens, we think of, you know, ocean battles and, you know, the ships going around and, you know, those destroyers laying down smoke screens during the battles and stuff. And that's what they really did. I mean, they would lay out smoke screens so that you could cloud what the enemy saw or what he really didn't get to see. And you could move behind the smoke screen. And hopefully in doing so, your larger ships and your transport ships wouldn't get attacked because they were really hard to see and it was real hard to target them. That's what smoke screens are all about. It's to keep you, if you're on the receiving end of the smoke screen and you're looking at it, it's to keep you from being able to target very well. Amen? It's to cloud the issue. You know, business operators use smoke screens oftentimes to do something. They use it to hype, if you will, certain products that are really high profit products. Amen? I mean, that's one of the things that's used for. People use them. We use them to hide our thoughts, to hide our motives, to even hide what we really feel, and really to kind of sometimes direct the conversation away from what we really don't want to talk about. And here's what we've got here as Jesus is sitting there at the well, and here comes the Samaritan woman, and he asks her a simple question: would you give me a drink? And look at verse 7. And he says that, and he says, would you give me a drink? And then verse 9, she says back to him, you're a Jew. I'm a Samaritan woman. But I mean, she knew what that did. That's like trying to mix oil into water. It didn't happen. You know, so she's throwing up some smoke. Hey, I'm a Samaritan woman. You're a Jew. Don't associate. Here she comes. When did she come? Anybody remember? When did she come? Around noontime, wasn't it? Kind of heat of the day. Kind of an odd time for people to go draw on water back in Jesus' day, because normally the women would come to the well when? Early morning. The women, I mean, that was part of the house chore. You came, you got the water for your day, you came early in the morning. And what was the well? What we looked at that a little bit last week. What did we use the well for? What did they use the well for? Huh? Kind of a social, you know, it was kind of a place where you could gather, where you could talk. It's kind of like our local Starbucks, you know. It's a place where, you know, there was a gathering, if you will. And it was a place where the women of the town could come, not only to draw the water from the well and get their daily, whatever they needed for the day, but it was also a place where they were able to go out and they were able to meet the other women of the town and they were able to talk to them. They were able to socialize. They probably talked about their kids. Amen. I mean, most of the time, conversations often turn to kids and family, don't they? Real quick, whenever you got, you know, people that get together. I know in our life groups, I mean, that's one of the things that happens in our life groups. We end up, when we start the socializing time, we talk about kids and family, don't we? Amen? You know, things that are going on. They probably talked about their husbands. If there were the guys meeting, they'd probably been talking about their wives. But, you know, talking about people that really counted in their lives. They probably also talked maybe a little bit about, well, let's see, you know, old, the butcher shop guy's got a special going on. Or the supermarket selling this stuff cheaper today. This is a good place to go. And if there was something going on in their town government, I guarantee you they talked about the town government and the stuff that was going on. They were probably talking about the mean, nasty Romans who were occupying their land back then as well. And they also probably talked about some of the latest scandals in town. And ladies, you don't have the market on that. Us guys can do that just as well and maybe even better. Now, guys will do that. Amen? Thank you, ladies. I didn't hear a guy one saying amen. It's like, we're not going to admit it. That's a smoke screen. That's a silent smoke screen. We don't want to admit it. So anyway, there was a news place. It was a place where they could share the news. It was a place where they could meet and talk and also get their water. But as we read here, we find that, again, this woman does not come at the regular time. She doesn't come in the morning. She comes at noon. And she probably comes at noon because what is she known for in town? Yeah, I got a bunch of hubbies. You know, she's an adulteress. And back in Jesus' day, that was a biggie. You know, that was one of the cardinal sins, if you will. Her lifestyle was a lifestyle of adultery. And so she knows that by Samaritan standards, by their religious standard, by their cultural standards, she was a sinner. She was a person who was basically a second class, third class, fourth class, bottom of the class rung social person. Nobody wanted to be around her. And so all she wanted to do is, I want to come and get my water and I want to go back to the house and I don't have to deal with all of the stuff that I'll have to deal with when I go get water. So she comes in the noontime where she's not going to have to listen to all the insults. She comes where she's not going to be shunned. She's not going to be treated like a non-person because there's not going to be anybody there to treat her like anything. It's like, hooray, nobody's going to be there. I'm cool. I can go get my water and get back out of here. She doesn't really want people to be, you know, seeing her because she knows what they think of her. She knows what's already happened in the past. And when you stop and you think about it, this woman probably got some pretty condemning looks anytime that she went out. Amen? You know, she was a social outcast herself. The Samaritans were considered to be outcast by the Jews, but she was a social outcast by the Samaritans. Think about how this woman must have felt. Amen? Do you know anybody like that? That's an outcast? Amen. Kind of put yourself in her place a little bit. Here she comes. She's probably been coming at noontime for quite a while. And she knows that there's not very many folks gathered there at the well. And probably the well is probably deserted. Hooray. Amen? Hooray. There's nobody there at all. But instead of finding the well deserted like it's probably always been in the past days and weeks and months, here's this man who's sitting there at the well, and he says, give me a drink. Imagine what flashes through her mind. Who is this guy? I'm a Samaritan. I'm a woman. See, even in culture, in their cultural setting, the guys didn't talk that much to the women out in the town. It just didn't happen. So here's something to think about. In verse 9, though, I found it really interesting. She recognized that Jesus was a Jew. Okay? She recognized him as a Jew, and immediately she's going to use that now as one of her smoke screens. Up with the smoke screen. You're a Jew. I'm a Samaritan. Bug out, bud. You know? Don't say anything to me. Uh-uh. Not good. You don't want to do that. Her whole thing was, I don't want to get involved in a conversation. Away. Away with you. Go away. Just leave. I want to just get my water from the well, and I want to go back home. Leave me. Amen? You stop and you think about it. How many times have we used a tactic that's similar to that in our own lives? Jesus says, give me some water. So she comes back and she says, hey, why are you even talking to me? Have you ever done that to somebody? Somebody asks you a question and it's basically the answer you give them back is like, what are you even talking to me for? Huh? I don't want to talk to you. You ever do that? No, we never do that. Never. You know, and she uses the power. In her day and time, she's using one of the biggies. She's using a biggie. Jesus, she's basically saying to him, hey, dude, you are a man, one. You are a Jew, man, two. I'm a Samaritan, three. And I'm a woman, four. And you're talking to me? You're way out of line, man. You ought to book it. You know, remember, we looked at the prejudices that the Jews had against the Samaritans and vice versa, amen? We looked at that last week. But here's another issue. Again, it's that cultural thing of her being a woman, and he's a man, out there in the open. And most good Jewish men would not do this. They wouldn't talk to a woman out in the open. They really wouldn't. It just was, that was their culture. And so the conversation was usually very limited at best. It might be a nod, or that's about it. But so strike one, she's a Samaritan. Strike two, she's a woman. And if strike three would have been brought in, she was also an adulteress. It would have been one, two, three. Whoa, I'm unclean. It was almost like she was saying, I'm unclean, go away, go away. You know, like the people did with leprosy. Pretty close to it. Smokescreen. I think we have to ask ourselves, though, how many times do we put up smokescreens in our own lives? How many times? Do you put them up? I think we do. Have you ever come, how many times have you, particularly as a Christian, how many times have we come up to somebody and you sort of know God wants you to talk to them? You kind of got that, I'm supposed to talk, I really don't want to. And you know that they've got a few issues in their lives. Amen? Okay? Let's play the game. I know they got a few issues in their lives. I really don't want to talk to them. God's told me I'm supposed to, but I really don't want to. So I'm going to make this conversation real short. You know, if you don't get your life right, and if you don't accept Jesus as your Savior and Lord, you're going to go to hell and burn. Amen? And what's the normal response? Have y'all done that any time? What's the normal response? Hasta la vista, baby. I'm out of here. I ain't talking to you. You're just that one of those typical Christians. Right? I'm gone. Good. Christian goes, good. They're gone. Well, Lord, I did try to talk to them. I really did. I'm just trying to point out, you know, some of their faults. They need to repent. Amen? Have you ever used the lying excuse? It's the one where here comes that person again. I know God wants me to talk to him or spend some time, and I do this. Oh my. Oh, hi. How are you doing? You know what? I got an appointment and I forgot all about it. I need to hurry up and get there. I'll talk to you later. Bye. You ever do that one? I want to avoid that person. I just don't want to talk to them. So I use my lying excuse. Oh, I got an appointment. I'm sorry. Bye. Have you ever avoided going someplace that God wanted you to go so that you could be the salt and the light that he wants you to be in that person's life or maybe somebody else's as part of, and you do the manufacturing of an excuse? Do you ever manufacture an excuse? Do you ever devise up your own, come up to it? Take, for instance, you go, I don't like to make hospital visits. I'm not going to make a hospital visit. Somebody else can go do that. Yeah, I know so-and-so's in the hospital. I'm not going to go visit them. No, 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 no. That brings back too many bad memories. God, you can't be asking me to go to the hospital. No. No, Lord. I don't want to do that. And a pastor or an elder or a deacon or somebody in church says, hey, brother so-and-so or sister so-and-so, so-and-so is in the hospital. Would you stop by and see them? They would really appreciate a visit. Oh, no, I really can't do that. I'm not good at hospital visits because I don't like them. Amen? What if God didn't really care about you visiting the person that, you know, you were supposed to, that they were, people were trying to get you to go visit, but instead what he wanted you to do was to be able to go so that you could minister to a roommate who did not know Jesus. Amen? See, we throw up these, they're avoidance mechanisms. I don't want to do it. I don't want to follow you, Lord, in that way. I don't really want to be salt and light because it's going to be uncomfortable for me. And so I put up my smoke screen, my own. I do my own, turn on my own smoke pot, and here it comes. You know, and it could be also, you know, maybe let's do a flip side. There's folks out there that God probably wants you to talk to, and maybe you're willing. Maybe you're not only just willing, you're like, okay, you know, Lord, I've been asking you to bring some folks into my life. I'm willing, Lord. And so your first time out of the chute, you start trying to start up a conversation, but this person knows you from work. And you've been a person of integrity, and they haven't been. And you start talking, and they start throwing up the smoke because they don't want to look at you because you remind them of what they're not. Amen? Or maybe, you know, maybe you want to show some compassion, and you do show compassion in your life. And God puts on your heart to go talk to somebody, a person, whoever this person may be. And as you start, they start to back away. They start to put up the smoke. What do we do? I think we need to be like Jesus. He didn't get up and walk off with the Samaritan woman. He stayed there. And he let her go ahead and throw up all the smoke that she wanted to, didn't he? Throw up your excuses. Put them up there. I've got something I want to share with you. Amen? You know, if somebody knows that you're a Christian, you will have smoke screens put up in their lives. They will smoke you. They'll put it out there as they're trying to keep you from talking with them. But don't give up. Jesus didn't give up. Jesus listened. He let her go ahead and diffuse herself. Amen? Do you ever notice how if somebody starts an attack, oftentimes it's a smokescreen to get you to back off. But then once they've spouted, guess what? Their hearts are open and they're ready to hear. Amen? So rather than getting up and walking off, as we're going to see, Jesus does something that's really cool in the next set of passages as we get into them next week. I want us to get kind of a picture of who, I said last week I was going to introduce you to the Samaritan woman. And we've got a short video clip that I think does a real good job of putting a face, a modern day face, on the Samaritan woman. Darian?
I am a woman of no distinction, of little importance. I am a woman of no reputation, say that was bad. You whisper as I pass by and pass judgmental glances, so you don't really take the time to look at me or even get to know me. For to be known is to be loved, and to be loved is to be known. Otherwise, what's the point in doing either one of them in the first place? I want to be known. I want someone to look at my face and not just see two eyes, a nose, a mouth, and two ears, but to see all that I am and could be, all my hopes, loves, and fears. That's too much to hope for, to wish for, or pray for, so I don't, not anymore. Now I keep to myself, and by that I mean the pain that keeps me in my own private jail, the pain that brought me here at midday as well. To ask for a drink is no big request, but to ask it of me, a woman unclean, ashamed, used, and abused, an outcast, a failure, disappointment, a sinner, no drink. condemnation. Coming from you brings love, grace, mercy, hope, and salvation. I've heard of one to come who would save a wretch like me. And here in my presence, you say, I am to be known is to be loved. To be loved is to be known. And I just met you, but I love you. I don't know you, but I want to get to you. Let me run back to town. This is way too much for just me. There are others, brothers, sisters, lovers, haters, the good and the bad, sinners and saints, who should hear what you told me, who should see what you showed me, who should taste what you gave me, who should feel how you forgave me. For to be known is to be loved, and to be loved is to be known. And they all need this too. We all do. We need it for our own.
Do you know any people in your life that are kind of like the Samaritan woman who need the love, the mercy, the tenderness, and the salvation? Don't put up smoke screens to them. And don't let their smoke screens stop you from showing the love of Jesus Christ. Amen. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. As we go prayerfully before the Lord, you may be here today, and you might be like the Samaritan woman. Maybe you're looking for the one who can heal you of all the hurts, heal you of all of the sin. His name's Jesus. If the Holy Spirit is speaking to you this morning about receiving Jesus, do so this morning. Simply turn to Him and simply ask Him to forgive you of your sins. Tell Him that you need Him. Receive His mercy, receive His forgiveness, and ask Him to be your Savior and your Lord. He will. As Christians, we need to really make sure that we don't let the smoke screens get in the way of us being the salt and the light that Jesus wants us to be. Don't let your own smoke screens go up. And don't let the smoke screens of the one that God puts before you drive you away or cause you to back off. Show His love. Show His compassion. Show His mercy. Lord, I just thank You that Your Son taught us so well the kind of response that we should really have when the smoke screens do get thrown up. Not condemning, not abrasive, not plowing through, but being gentle, showing mercy, showing love. Help each one of us, Father, throughout this week to show Your love to the people that we come in front of, the people that You bring in front of our paths. I just lift this up to You in Jesus' name. Amen. Praise team. This time we'll have a time where you can respond. If you were here this morning and you asked Jesus Christ to come into your heart and you haven't made that public, why don't you come this morning and make it public? If you need to come and just use the altar, just to talk with God, feel free to do so. Lord Jesus, again, we just thank You so much for what You have done. Thank you for the salvation that you give to each one of us. Lord, let us have hearts that just show who you really truly are, showing your love, your mercy, your grace. Help each one of us, Father, as we go out of here today to celebrate you. I just lift this up in Jesus' name. Amen.